Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Skim. I'm Scott.
And I'm Kim.
And we're back for yet another episode of The Skim Show.
The Skim Show.
That's right. Hey, what happened last week? That was your fault, right? That was you?
That was my fault.
I'm just teasing. It was my fault. I forgot.
It was both of us. Okay. I think we both did.
We didn't forget. Here's what we did. Sunday, it's supposed to be morning. 11 a.m. in the morning. That's when we're supposed to do this. But I had so much stuff going on Sunday. A bunch of stuff got shifted around. Mm-hmm. That it was cutting into it. We had some film sack shifting, some other stuff like that going on. And because of that, I was like, hey, hun, can we do this after everyone leaves tomorrow night?
I had a family event at our house.
Yeah. And they were all kind of...
a big family dinner. It wasn't...
Right. But you had to make... It's an event because you have to make dinner and make everybody happy and put them all in, in a seat. Right?
It's that way whenever you have family over. When you have a large family and everyone comes over, it's... pretty much an event.
Yeah, it is kind of here, especially when Kim's family comes, because there's a ton of them.
Yeah.
And so because of that, we had a lot going on. And I said,
let's just do it right after everyone leaves.
Yeah, and I told you that. I said, hey, Kim, let's do it at 6 or 7 or whenever they leave, 8, whatever it was. And you said, oh, okay, cool, no problem, let's make it work. And then they were here, and they were here for a long time, and it was... just a lot of, you know, family stuff, extended family stuff. And by the time they were gone, everybody's settling in. Carter's got work and school the next morning. So does Nick. Or he had work. And so everybody's like got their plans and doing their thing. And the baby was here and we were playing with him. And we just forgot. And we went to bed. And it wasn't until the next morning I get a text from Kim that says, hey, we didn't do our show. And I was like, ah, shit.
That's the first moment we both went, how? How do we forget? How do we not remember that night?
I don't know what happened. That was really odd, but we decided
it's all right though
that we wouldn't miss it today, so that's why we're here now, and we're happy to do it. Kim's in a slightly different position than she was previously.
Wow.
Well, you know what I mean. Like you're in a different
part of the room,
part of the studio here.
I don't know why he moved me around.
Is it weird to you because
it feels I'm facing a wall?
She's being interrogated. The best part of this, I wish I could show this.
Please,
actually, you know what I can.
Please state your name for the record.
The wall she's facing has that look. It has this Han Solo with a baby face staring at her. So
I
that's
don't know why you turned. Why are we doing this?
Because it's funny. No, that's not the main reason. I have a technical reason. That camera is normally, see those tape spots on the floor over there?
Yeah.
That gets moved over there, then raised up, and it's now like a studio cam. And it's the only option I had.
You've moved things around in the studio.
Yes, I moved some things around.
Not a problem.
My apologies that you are having to face a wall and be interrogated by a pink-faced Han Solo. Anyway, it's nice to be here. I hope you had a nice week, hon, because it was a crazy one, I felt like.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
We had a lot going on.
Too much.
But I don't know. I don't know if this week's going to be any better. It just gets crazy this time of year.
What do you think about... Okay, I'm saying this as if I'm coming up with the idea. I'm not actually. But you had the idea that for Mother's Day, that we take off for a weekend.
Just for a couple of days.
Yeah, for a couple of days and just
chill out.
Yeah. Doesn't that sound nice?
By hopefully a pool.
Do you like that more than normal Mother's Day things?
I usually do that, though. I mean, think about it. My kids laugh because they think it's funny that, it's Mother's Day and she doesn't want to be a mom that day. So she always leaves.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Nick always says. He's just being snarky about. I like to get away and do something totally not mom related that is just for me.
Yeah. By the way, I like your hair.
Thank you.
Let's point this out real quick. So Kim got a haircut.
Yes, I did.
See how buzzed on the side and back it is? And what it's done, you still got the pink. You can't see in this lighting because the lighting sucks. But you still got the purple on top. But then you got these cool J. Jonah Jameson looking kind of silvers on the side and back. And
Kim, that's my natural hair color.
Kim has her family.
It's so silver.
Her family has the coolest silver hair. Now, I don't mean gray. You can't tell in this lighting. This lighting sucks. But when I turn gray, my gray hair looks like gray, like nasty ass Gandalf the gray. Kim looks like Gandalf the white with like beautiful, shiny, almost glass-like.
It's very silver. Carter's got a lot of it. I get it from my dad.
Carter's 21, and she's already got a bunch of these little silvers going on.
I mean,
so
her hair isn't silver, but you can see a few of them in there. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, but it's a good look. It's like a, it's a, you know, and there are people out there right now. This is like the hot new thing right now, I've noticed. Instagram girls or whatever out there getting their hair done to be silver looking.
Yep.
So what you have naturally, they're all trying to get it in their 20s, you know, like a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah, but I don't want it to ever make me look old. That's what I worry about.
Well, like, look at, chat room's bringing it up, but Justin Robert Young, he has this beautiful shocks of silver hair in his,
it's true,
in his bushy hair man hair. And he's only like 36.
Bushy hair man hair.
And he's been dealing with the grays since 30. And he's embraced it, so embrace it, babe. It's all good.
It's not necessarily the same thing for a girl. Let's be honest here.
Well, but sometimes...
Men look distinguished. They always go this very distinguished look when they go white or silver or gray.
I disagree. I look like shite.
And I think that women end up feeling, maybe, and some people do, look older. I've known people that look older than their age because they went gray or silver.
I think I look terrible. I don't look distinguished. There's no distinguishing. Nobody looks at me and goes,
"You're very distinguishing,
babe." Yes. I've noticed that as I get older. I didn't mean this episode to be about age, but as I get older, my eyes start to turn to droop. You know how Carter gets when she's tired? Don't you think I'm getting kind of like getting?
I've not noticed that.
Like they're going down this way. Chat
I think
room.
That's what we do, though. We always look at our worst selves in the mirror. That's kind of what we all do. I think a little bit.
Yeah, because even when I was, back in 2015, when I was like 40 pounds less, excuse me.
Wow.
I was sorry. That was the chai tea coming up there. But I was a much more, I was really at my best, my favorite weight. I was very happy there.
But you didn't know it at the time.
No, I'd look in the mirror, you know, shirtless and go, ugh, still, what is this? What are we looking at here? This is not good. Because I've never had a positive body image ever, my whole life.
I think that everyone deals with it in some form.
Yeah, it's natural.
They never
right?
see themselves as, yeah, I'm at the perfect weight, height, everything I ever wanted. Well, I guess some people do. They become models.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's true even.
Really?
I think they still have self-image issues.
Yeah. I think it's just part of human. In fact, it's a great, if you can figure out a way to conquer it, I say hats off to whoever you are for doing it.
Yeah.
It's hard.
And you,
it's
if
hard
you have
do.
Friends that walk around going, "Don't I look great?" You're like, well, you're not my friend.
Yeah. Not really my friend, are you? But yeah, like I
think there's a good positive self-image. I don't think there should ever be a perfect self-image.
No.
Like, wow, I look great. I do think that it's an issue for a lot of girls growing up that don't have enough positive self-image.
I do have this problem where years later I'll look at an old photo and go, "Hey, I looked all right back then. Why was I worried at the time?
Look at me in that picture. Hey, I look great.
Yeah, look at us." And this was only—it was a year where I thought I looked like crap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we got to stop doing that. People, I mean, not just me, but like the world. Let's all just stop worrying about how we look all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's refocus that energy on things like...
On doing good things everywhere else.
Apex Legends and how good you are.
And how good you are on
do
that.
You, what do you know? Let's have a fun little quiz here. What do you know about Apex Legends?
Nothing but the name.
Let's play a theme song. All right, Kim's going to... Oh, you only know the name?
I've heard you guys talk about it. That's
do you
it.
Know that your son is completely obsessed with it and
I
can't stop playing
kind
it?
Of knew that because he does talk about it a lot.
Yeah. Did you know he's up till 3 o'clock in the morning some nights playing with your son-in-law?
No.
You didn't know that? So,
that's just great. I don't think he does that on a work night. So
no, you're
good.
Probably right. Do you know any of the names of the characters featured
not
in the
a
game
one.
Apex Legends?
Not a one.
Okay, I'm going to give them to you, and then you can decide if you want to remember these or not.
Like your music.
This will help. This will help when you're dealing with Nick on a mother-son basis.
I can throw some of this out there, and I'll be...
Yeah, he'll be like, points. Oh my gosh, mom is so cool, you guys. Here you go. The characters' names are Bigelow, Junkface, Stinky, Garbanzo, Fun Buns, Pud, Chappie, and Hot Topic.
Oh my gosh.
I just gave you absolutely the real names for those characters and not fake ones I made up.
That sounds like you made them all up.
I did make them up. I totally did.
Okay.
But I thought I'd share that with you. Anyway.
Fun Buns?
Fun Buns. She's got these two buns on the outside of her head, or the outside of her head. It's just her hair is in buns. And I like to call her Fun Buns. And there's one guy who's kind of a jerk, and I call him Pud. Anyway.
Okay.
Chat room. I call BS. Really? You think?
I wouldn't have even known. That's the only funny part.
That's true.
I wouldn't have known you were lying to me.
Hey, I got a question before we get to some of our emails and calls and stuff. What's that? If you don't mind. You all right with that?
I don't mind.
Okay.
I don't mind yet.
Our cameras are less harsh today. I've toned them down. We don't look like orange flashlights.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So last time it was
a little weird. It was a little much.
And we didn't look like we were in the same room.
No.
That was weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
What's your question?
Here's my question. You have some, and this, I'm not calling anybody out in particular. We're not going to use names or anything.
Okay.
But we all have somebody in our lives. I'm sure everybody in the chat and everyone listening at home can commiserate here. We all have people in our lives that are either by nature or have built this over time or even more recently have decided that they are a little conspiratorial, right?
Okay.
Like they'll buy into a wacky idea, and the deeper they go, the harder it is to get them out of that hole.
Okay. I agree with you so far.
You know what I mean.
Everyone knows someone.
So our daughter, Taylor, when she had the baby, Van, who is now our grandson.
Grandson.
He was born and had a great birth, and since then has been nary even a cold or a virus or anything, right?
Right.
And part of that is because Taylor's been very careful about that. She tells people, look, if you're coming to see the baby and you're sick, don't come. I'll bring him to you when you're mm-hmm. feeling better. Mm-hmm. Like she's been good about that, but also she made it very clear to all the extended family, hey, everybody get your flu shots, get your whooping cough shot that's out this year.
If you want to meet the baby.
If you want to hold the baby. You can still be in the room,
yeah,
whatever, but I don't want the kid getting sick, especially in the winter, in the worst flu month of the year, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think all very smart mother decisions.
Yes.
Not a problem. And she's not the one I'm calling conspiratorial. I think she's right. She's right to want to help him.
You got
to
keep your baby safe and happy. Sure. Well.
I mean, he's going to get sick in his life anyway, and that's all going to happen naturally, and that's fine.
Just not while he's a month old.
When he's a month old, though, you put him at real risk when, you know,
right, okay.
Like Cuban flu or whatever.
Anyway, where are you going with
this?
Here's
where I'm going with this. There are a number of people on both sides of the family,
yeah,
meaning on Dylan's side and on Taylor's side, a number of people who have opted not to get their flu shots, or more, some are even to the point of not getting any sort of immunization and or vaccination of any sort because they've bought into the ridiculous and stupid and debunked theory that anybody who gets a vaccine is going to obtain a certain level of autism. Okay? They've bought into the story. Now, on your side of the family, we have somebody who's actually bought into more of the idea that there's a bunch of weird brain-altering chemicals in these things and the government's just trying to get you. All right?
Getcha.
So I guess what I'm saying is I deal with it by getting very frustrated and feel like saying something. And I never do, but I feel like saying, well, that's actually not true. I sat your mom down and whoops.
Oh, honey.
I just said who it was. I sat this person down the other night, which is partly why we didn't end on time and have a show, and tried to explain to her my feelings and thoughts on it. And then it was sad that because of her choice.
And your truths, let's be honest. You were like, and here are some, it's not just your ideas and your thoughts and your, well, you know, maybe it's a good idea because it's, here's hard proof that this is going to help you out.
Here's not only hard proof, but also here are some people that she likes and trusts saying the exact same thing.
Okay.
And trying to.
Where are you going with this?
The point of this is I want to know how you handle this sort of thing. If somebody just is blatantly in front of you going,
I honestly, because I was mom of small children and things like that, and was definitely vaccinating my kids through all of this, and they had to go to school, and it was mandatory to get everything at the time. So now I feel like it's interesting that anyone that chooses not to, it's a choice.
It's a choice, all right.
I really have a hard time when it's a choice that could affect your child, and they have no say in this. You know, everyone's been reading in the news about the family that their son, was it a son that went to the hospital for 57 days or something over?
Yeah, this kid in Portland, little 6-year old or so. I can't remember his exact age, but he got put in the hospital for
tetanus,
which was basically eradicated in Portland. There's no such thing as people getting tetanus.
Right,
it's tetanus.
It's a tetanus shot. It's what you get when you step on a nail because the whatever is in the rust and all of I don't know all the technical reasons, if you're getting vaccinated,
you get vaccinated against that from the get go, so you shouldn't have this problem.
Right, and then you get boosters. If you get hurt, you do a booster.
Just in case. Right, exactly. Right. All normal stuff we've been doing for freaking 50 years, and this kid hasn't been getting them because his parents refused to do it. He gets tetanus. He gets very sick. Apparently, in the very young, tetanus is really bad.
Well, like a lot of things, young and really old. These things can be really
exactly
bad.
And especially childhood diseases like measles, back in the day, polio, things
it's
like that.
It's even the same thing with the flu.
Right, the flu can be worse on you.
You know, if you're young, if you're a baby and you get the flu, that can be really scary.
It's super scary, very dangerous. And so this kid ends up 50-something days in the...
In the hospital.
In the hospital. It costs him $800,000, nearly $1 million dollars in medical bills. And on the other end of all this, and he almost died multiple times this close to death and had emergency stuff happen at the hospital. The best care you can get, yet still this close to death. All of that later, they still refuse to vaccinate the kid.
Yeah.
So now...
I think there's a choice in the matter when it's the right choice for your child. If you're... I don't even know when it would be the right choice to not vaccinate them against some of the things that are out there. But that's a crazy story to me because I feel like you've already been there. You know your son got it. I'm not sure how he got it, but he got it. And... you're still not willing to protect him from it again?
Right. So even then, you don't learn
your
lesson.
I don't understand that part.
Well, that's just people just buy into the thing, and then they go deeper and deeper, and then they lock themselves in.
Well, I'm sure we have listeners even right now that are like, well, I chose not to do that, and that's my choice. I'm not here to piss anyone off.
At what level? Well, of course you're not. But at what level are you... Okay, if I said, man, I just believe that I shouldn't give my kid more than one glass of water a week. I just really believe it. You know what would happen? Social services would be here, and they would be separating me because I am denying my kid the ability to have enough water to survive.
Right.
So that's child abuse of some level. So what's the difference between that and what they did to this kid to me?
Oh, I don't think there's a lot of difference in what was going on there. The hard part, and I've talked to Taylor about this because I didn't have any conversations with her before she had the baby, so I wasn't quite sure what she had bought into, or we hadn't really talked about vaccinations. And she goes, did you hear about the anti-vaxxers? And I just went, what did you hear? What have you been listening to? I don't know.
It's like you don't even want to go.
I don't know if I want to hear this conversation from my own daughter. But she goes, yeah, if someone made my kid sick and gave them the measles, I'd be pissed. So definitely, Van's getting his shots. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, of course, he's getting it.
We've eradicated these things for years and years and years, 50 years. In the United States, mm-hmm. measles, and we have outbreaks because people are choosing not to give the vaccination. Mm-hmm. And it's affecting not just the kids whose parents choose this for them, but everybody else.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad for herd immunity. We got diseases that were basically eradicated and are now like making a comeback in certain communities.
And it makes me more angry that, people in charge that are saying things like, we only have to worry about that in third world countries because we have antibiotics. Well, antibiotics don't do anything for measles. Hello?
Yeah. The other thing to remember.
Let's at least be informed.
Here's the
at
other.
At least be informed about what we're deciding.
But see, this is the problem with conspiratorial thinking. You think you're when someone says at least be informed. Oh, by what? Your sources? Like, you know what I mean?
Okay, let's then figure out where the real, true, absolute sources are, and that's usually going to be your doctor.
Yeah, it's science, but people see science as part of the problem, and so once you've done that. There's no winning those conversations.
No.
Once you've said,
you're right.
My critical thinking begins and ends with whatever whack job I listen to late at night on the radio or whatever my uncle said or whatever, and it stops and ends there, starts and ends there, then you're never going to go, you're never going to get there. I mean, you might, you could, but you dig in and it's all a conspiracy then and everyone's out to get you and that's what they want you to think and all of that thinking. I can't.
But it harms other people. That's where you're like, okay, but you are harming other people.
Yeah, which is why I believe I would classify what that couple did. And I hope they work around this and find a way to find the freaking equilibrium they need in their life to best take care of their kid. But I think it's neglect at the very least, abuse at the highest level. And here's
After
the other
all
thing.
All of that, yes.
Here's the other thing. I guarantee you those parents were vaccinated.
Well, because you had to.
But not only did they have to, but they don't have tetanus. They didn't die of measles.
Right.
They didn't have any of that because they were vaccinated.
Right.
Because the science proved through that they could become adults and childbearing in their own right. And now they're screwing their kid with this because they bought into some ex-Playboy bunny who said that, hey, my kid's autistic, therefore it must have been the vaccine.
It must have been the vaccination.
This makes me want to put... I don't know. It makes me want to punch a donkey. And that's not fair to the, it's not fair to the donkey, is it?
No.
No, the donkey.
Or the kids.
The donkey didn't do anything to deserve this.
It's frustrating to watch how in certain states they're making it the ability to choose not to have your kids vaccinated on all of these reasonings.
Yeah, there's 21 states. Ugh. There's 21 states with legislation in place or proposed legislation.
Proposed legislation
to make it so. And look, I am all about parents having their own choices, and I know it's a slippery slope and all that.
Just find out the actual facts about things before we make that decision.
Yes, but because there are people who are crazy anyway, we got to decide what to do then. We are a nation of laws, and if we're going to believe in laws, then we should have laws that are smart, laws that make sense, and not just
willy-nilly.
If you're going to go full libertarian and go, well, I get to choose whatever, okay, but if it starts to affect the rest of society, get the F out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Oh, I'm getting all irritated.
Oh, you are.
Because I don't understand. Look, I understand.
You don't understand when it harms children.
I understand completely why people might be, ooh, what's in that shot? Ooh, I don't know. Yeah. Ooh, I should look it up. Oh, the internet tells me these 50 different things. I don't know who to believe. I understand that path. I get it. But like your dad, this is what I love about your dad. What a sweetheart, right? Usually it's like he's so sweet with your mom and will always back her and be with her and care, you know, he's always with your mom.
Yeah.
And if your mom's like, I don't want to do it because there's a chemical in there that'll give me a third eyeball, he would say, well, okay, dear, I won't get the flu shot, whatever. But then when Taylor said, hey, everybody wants to hold the baby, get your flu shots, he went out and got a flu shot because he's a great grandpa now and he wants to hold the little peanut. It's so cute. It made me want to cry.
He's great.
Anyway. Educate yourselves, everybody.
Just educate yourselves.
It's the most controversial skim we've ever made.
It certainly is. And just so you know, for people who think that it's the combination of all the vaccinations at one time.
Yeah, spread it out.
Spread it out. Because Taylor talked to her doctor about that. She's like, I don't like the idea of giving him so many chemicals all at one time. These vaccinations, sorry, not chemicals, but the vaccinations.
Well, they're chemicals.
They give you four... It's at fine. A time in one day. And she's like, I just don't like the idea of that much in a system. So she talked to her pediatrician and they're going to spread them out.
Yeah, and they're like, fine with that. They'll do that.
You pay your copay more often, but it's worth it to her to have them spread out and be like, okay, well, this week we're going to do this one. And next month we'll get the, you know, instead of the DPT, all the of them at the same time, which is tetanus, by the way.
Yeah.
He will get that, but not at the same time as all the others. If it's what bothers you about it, talk to your doctor.
My parents gave me all the stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
And this is back when, you know, this in the 70s when the needle's eight times as big.
We didn't
big
even get the chickenpox vaccine, by the way.
Right.
And I got chickenpox at the time.
I ended up getting chickenpox as well, and that was the only one I think they didn't immunize for.
They didn't do that till after Taylor, by the way, because Taylor got chickenpox.
Yeah, I remember that. It was a painful case.
Yeah.
She did not enjoy
that. She was like a year and a half.
Well, chickenpox isn't as deadly or whatever.
No, but she was tiny and she still has scars from it.
Right. So I just don't know why you want to put your kids at risk. That's all. And you'll say, well, what about putting them at risk for this other thing? All right. Well, that's backed by nothing. So like life is full of mysteries and unknowns. I remember a time when eggs were the worst thing I could eat. And now I'm being told, eat lots more eggs because eggs aren't nothing wrong with eggs. Eat all the eggs you can. Oh, wait, I thought those were bad. No. Those are good cholesterol now. Oh, really? Because for like a decade there, you were all telling me they weren't.
Don't
like,
eat your eggs. Yeah.
I get that society goes woo-hoo with their ideas. You just do the very best you can and don't base it on fear and reactionaryism. Just go in with your eyes wide open. Mm-hmm. Get as much information as you can. Really study down on the thing and don't listen to your wacky uncle. Okay?
Yep. There you go.
Unless that wacky uncle is me. All right. Enough of that. We could go on with that all day, but I'm going to read you an email, Kim. Would you like to hear an email?
Absolutely.
Here it is. You know, you could say the phrase, let your decision to not vaccinate your children be a pox upon your family. Literally, it would be a pox upon your family.
Okay. Controversial.
All right. Email.
People Gnarla. Make your own decisions.
Gnarla wrote in, if that is a real name. Gnarla.
Hey.
I shouldn't make fun. It's probably real.
It is. It's cute.
I don't know.
I like it.
All right. Gnarla says, well, that is cute. Imagine a little baby named Gnarla. That's cute, right? Here you go. How come you guys never talk about the fight you have? Everyone fights. What do you fight about, Gnarla?
Oh, everyone fights. It's true.
We don't really fight, though.
We have arguments.
Oh, yeah, sure. But is that fighting?
that's true. No physical fighting, no.
Well, no, but I mean, we're not even, we don't yell at each other, do we?
I punched you in the arm.
Yeah, but that's always in jest, and I never punch you back.
No, like, that's true.
I'd get killed if I did that.
You would.
But she, the worst it ever gets is like a disagreement, argument. It's always verbal. It never reaches the point of yelling. We've never done that.
No.
What if I ever yelled at you? Let me think for a second.
Yelled? If we've had heated arguments. Let's call them that.
Yeah.
And it's usually about stupid stuff. It's usually about the same thing as everyone else. It's over money. That's a big one for most couples.
Yeah, money's huge. Money whether sucks. It's, I hate money.
It's, you know, whether it's there's not enough or you spent it here or I decided this for us and, you know, those kinds of arguments. What else have we fought about?
Nothing. Ever? I can't think of anything.
How we raise the kids sometimes because you've definitely got daddy's girls and mama's boys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have that dynamic in this house for sure.
We do.
So a lot of times I will back the daughter faction pretty hard when you are
when I'm like, opposition. No, they know better. And then the same thing goes for Nick.
Oh, yeah. Very, you're very protective of Nick. And I'll be like
extremely mad at him for something. Yeah. And I'll be like, you got to remember what it was like when you were 18. Mm-hmm. We had that argument just the other day.
Yeah.
You got to remember. And he was like, oh,
it's hard for me. It's hard for me.
Because you want them to be good, happy teenagers, adults, even kids that make good decisions. And they don't. They don't know how to yet.
No, they don't know how to yet. But part of it for me, with him in particular, he's not here, so he won't hear this.
No.
I see myself in him so much, like so much of me, and therefore what I consider to be my greatest weaknesses, even today, I see them in him.
And you want them
and
to
I don't
not
want
be
him
there.
To have them. Yeah. I want him to not have those. And so I sometimes go overboard. Admittedly, I go overboard. But see, this is what we're doing right now. Is the
it's
solution.
Usually how it ends up.
This
after
is the solution.
An argument. This is our conversation.
Yes, you have to have that's a true. Podcast and you have to talk about it.
No, this is the same conversation we had afterwards. Was like, Scott, you have to remember what it was like to be his age. You remember that you did this, this, and this that you've told me about, and you're like, oh crap, you're right.
Yeah.
The same stupid mistakes, the same whatever.
But you have to be willing also to acknowledge that. That's the hard part for most people, and it's hard for me. But I've done this long enough to know that I feel a lot better once I can acknowledge my role in this.
Yeah.
And the same goes for you. Like, there'll be times where you're just cranky. And yeah. I'll tell you that much. You're like, whatever. Bah, bah, bah. And then, then 2 hours later, I'll get a text from Kim going, I'm sorry. That's totally me this morning. Whatever, whatever. So she'll do the same thing. It's just
in the heat of the moment, no one's willing to admit they're really just cranky and hangry sometimes.
Sometimes you just got to let that happen. Yeah. Let that happen. Let it get out. Hangry. Oh, Carter. Carter's the hangriest. If Carter's cranky, Carter's you can count on that 90% of the times that she just doesn't have enough carbs right
it's
now.
It's true.
Give her a minute. True. Give her some
she
food.
She gets low blood sugar.
Give her some noodles or something.
And she's like, okay, I'm good now.
Yeah, and this should be fine and the happiest kid in the forever. But
I can't think of other things we fought over, though.
There's no fighting, really.
I mean, or even argued about. I mean, everyone has them.
Could it be a
Don't
case,
get me wrong.
Could it be a case like this? Like, I always talk about when someone's saying, oh, my kid will never sleep, the baby, or oh, I can't believe my son did this or whatever. And they say, how did you do this for three of them? And I'll say, I don't know. It didn't ever seem like hard work. It was always great. I think part of that is true. I mean, you just love them and you work through it and it's all fine. But at the moment, there were moments. There were hard things going on.
Yeah.
So maybe what it is as part of it is you're committed. So then that stuff doesn't seem so harsh.
Mm-hmm.
But as you go through it, you realize that it was worth it, and therefore it just diminishes the power of the negative.
And I think the same thing goes for our relationship as a couple. You're committed, so you are going to make it work.
Yeah, I think that's it. And just talk, man. And sometimes I'll make an admission right now. Here's a healing moment.
Okay.
Kim will say, "Hey, I'm going." With my sister to so such and such across town to pick up a thing. Do you need anything? And I'll say, no, I'm good. Have fun, but don't go crazy. I have this phrase where I say, don't go crazy. Now, we know what, Kim and I know what that's code for.
Yeah.
That's code for me
Don't spend any money.
Don't spend a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Not any money, but you know.
Well, don't spend a bunch of money. That's what he says every time. And it makes me so mad.
Fries her cheese, man.
It's just one of those things where I really? Really? have I ever done that? Have I ever totally screwed the family over buying something stupid? Yeah, no.
No, but I'm paranoid because, I mean, I could give you lots of reasons.
It's not necessarily about me that he's paranoid.
No.
It's just he's paranoid in general, but I get the brunt of it because who else is he going to say that to?
Finances paranoid make me paranoid.
That's true.
And, you know, my dad lost his whole world when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. The business, the house, at the time, motorhomes and boats and all sorts of fancy business went away, and we were on like a welfare thing for a while, and it was rough. Like watching all that happen was rough, and it made me lifelong paranoid about not having an. I mean, people always say, "Hey, that's cool that you jumped out and made Frog Pants full time in 2009. What's your only regret?" My only regret is I let that paranoia
keep me from doing it sooner.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was just so like.
See, I didn't grow up with any of that. I didn't grow up with any motorhomes or big houses or any of that stuff, and so it never has affected me the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to learn what he was talking about.
Yeah,
which was a little bit of a what now? Why would you think that I would do anything like that? He's like, It's not you. It isn't you.
It's never been you. It's just
a paranoia thing. But we have had arguments about you saying that.
I see a bunch of groceries and I go,
Seriously, what's going on?
You went crazy.
You went crazy. I'm like, no, they were just, the cereal was on sale.
Right. So I admit that's a thing I do and that I shouldn't do, and it drives you up the wall.
And it's all right. Now we've gotten past it, now that I really understand what he means by that,
mm-hmm.
I have to just go, whatever.
Yeah. Also, when I pull up the emergency brake a couple of notches, that's got nothing to do with this. That's a thing I should be able to do. Once in a while, just to irritate you.
It's one of those things that just irritates me. It's kind of like, okay, here's another one that you do on purpose that makes me nuts.
What?
I have the thing where you liked your arm to be tickled.
Oh, I love it.
Or your hair.
Or anything. I just love
anywhere.
A light.
You just like to be tickled, and it gives you goosebumps and whatever. It makes me want to climb out of the freaking car.
She freaking hates it.
Drives me crazy. And sometimes you do it while I'm driving, and I just want to punch you, but I know that's not a good idea.
But I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Sometimes it's just out of my head doing it.
Sometimes, yes.
Very rarely am I doing it to annoy you.
That is something we argue about because he thinks it's so funny that it drives me insane.
Yeah, it is kind of funny.
And it's one of those things that you either really like that or you don't. I don't.
She hates it.
It makes me want to crawl out of my skin.
Like, imagine her, this is her arm. If you go like this, probably even watching me do this is enough to make her freak out.
I'm not, but I know what you're doing.
But for me, that'll put me to sleep. It'll give me a better day. It'll be like the greatest moment of the day to just suddenly stop and have somebody tickle my neck.
It makes me want to jump up and punch someone. It does. I don't know why. It makes my skin crawl. I hate it.
Well. Ugh. Crawly McCrawly skin.
So yes, we've had that argument too, where he's, and then he just starts laughing because he thinks it's so funny.
That's a little funny.
It drives me crazy.
Especially when I can get you giggling, because I can do that. And then you get really mad. So yeah.
Matter.
All right. Well, see, we've aired some laundry today.
We've aired some laundry. Now you guys know what drives us both crazy.
Thank you, Narla, if that is your real name. All right. We got an email or a phone call. This 801-471-0462 is the number they called to leave us these voicemails. I have two of them today. You're encouraged to do that. We'd love to get your voicemails, everybody. 801-471-0462. Keep it reasonably lengthed and it'll get played. That's not a word, is it?
No.
Lengthed. All right. Here it is. This is, it's another financial question. Here you go.
Hey, Scott and Kim. This is Travis. I'm just curious on what your guys' finances are. Not the actual dollar amount, and I know that's personal information, but more along the lines of how you two deal with your finances. If there's any types of, you know, philosophies that you guys live by. I mean, do you guys give to charity? Do you guys put, you know, a chunk of change away each month for savings? And what you guys did for your kids for college? Just More of the philosophy behind how you guys handle your finances. I'm not looking for personal numbers.
And our bank account number is.
Yeah, and our the transfer number. So here's how it works. I say, don't go crazy, and then she goes and spends it. Just kidding. It's not true. Not true at all. I'll tell you this. Because of my financial paranoia, and this may actually... make it worse when I say things like don't go crazy. Part of the reason I think I might do that is because I am kind of an out of sight, out of mind guy when it comes to financial stuff. I hate it. I can't stand it. It stresses me out. It just gives me stress.
The very beginning of our marriage, we did bills together. We sat down, made our budget, like a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And after a while with him going to work and I decided to stay home with kids,
yeah,
I started doing the finances. I started paying the bills, buying all the groceries, all those things. He didn't, you know, wasn't his passion.
I stopped paying bills.
Yes.
Kim started paying the bills.
Scott stopped paying his bills.
It's true, I did.
It took us a long time to get to a point where we could have a good savings.
Mm-hmm.
We started out with both of us working, and then once I had Taylor, I decided the most important thing for me was to stay home.
Right.
I know that isn't for a lot of people, and that's totally fine. I think the harder thing to do sometimes is stay home.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And some people absolutely have to get back to work.
Right.
I don't have any, you know, there's no animosity towards any direction you take with that. It's a personal decision.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people get weird about that.
Yeah.
We were lucky enough to do it and it felt important to us as for our family, but
yes,
everyone's different. Everyone's got different stuff.
Taylor's going back to work. She's going to do her photography stuff. And so I'm proud of her for that.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely a choice you have to make together. Mm-hmm. Mine was to stay home. And so I started doing the bills and things like that. It took us a long time to get to the point where we would be able to put stuff away. Our kids were teenagers. And that's when it was all of a sudden, oh my gosh, they're going to want to go to college.
Yeah, you had to start,
you know,
tucking it.
And I know a lot of people can start at the very beginning of their kids' lives to start a college fund. We just weren't in that position.
Right.
I think more power to you if you can. That's great.
Right.
But we decided, because they were a little bit older before we could put money away for that, that we would only pay for 1 year of college.
Yeah.
That includes, you know, college, books, place to live, all of those things for 1 year, because I felt like it was important for them to get their kind of, you know, their footing in that as an adult.
Yeah.
And so,
like Carter's heading toward master's, possibly PhD at this point.
Well,
maybe she's back.
I don't know.
And
she's floundering whether or not she wants to just get a great job in that field.
She should just go. She should get a master's degree because she's that close to it. She's really close.
Well, no, she's close to her bachelor's.
Right,
but anyway.
But that's what I'm saying. Is she's almost to the end of that, and then then it would be another few years, couple maybe, and she'd get it. And I just think it'd make her more valuable. She's already outrageously talented and can do whatever she wants. But
yeah,
I think anyway. But the point is, like, here's the thing: I didn't
want to
do taxes
start.
Anymore. I didn't want to do any of that. And so Kim does all of it now.
And it stresses me to death every
she
year
also
for taxes.
Owns 51% of the company. So anytime Frog Pants does anything, honestly, here's the thing. Because Kim does all this, I'm not saying this is good or bad, but because Kim handles, you know, pays the house note, pays the electrical, pays off the cars, which, by the way, we highly recommend paying off your cars.
Okay.
Get to a place where you don't owe money on your cars. It feels really good not to owe money on your cars. Fantastic.
Yeah, we don't have new cars either.
No, they're not. We paid them over years of time.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh,
I bought my crappy Ford in, 2011?
Yeah.
Paid it off last year. Anyway.
Off subject.
Yeah, off subject. The point is, you know, she's doing all of that. I actually had a really good point.
Because I think that helps you to be able to do everything you're doing.
Oh, I know what it was. Some people might go, oh, Kim could just screw you in a week. Like, she owns 51% of the company, a controlling interest in the thing. So she could take all of that. She could take all. I don't know any of the bank passwords. Like, it's kind of bad that I don't know.
That's probably not good. You should probably.
I should have a little closer adherence to, like, what is actually going on. But she has been so good about it. And it has been such a good balance for us.
That just comes out of trust, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be able to trust me that I know that we're putting money away, that we are we didn't have any. Anyway,
chat room says John Florida 1968 says, can Kim do my taxes?
No, no, I hate doing taxes. I hate taking them all to our tax guy. And I'm like, did I do this? Do I have everything you need?
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly.
Hand it up.
Yeah, no,
but look, it's
there's no.
So as far as that goes, that's what we did with our kids. We pay for 1 year of college.
Yeah.
Nick has not chosen to do that yet. His money is still sitting in an account going, okay, when you decide what you want to do, we will help you out with that. And he knows it's there and whatever.
Just big believers in, like, not giving your kids everything.
No.
Like their cars. I want them to earn that kind of stuff. I want them to be independent. And I don't want kids whose first instinct is to ask all the adults around them for bailouts. It was an important thing for my parents to teach me, and it stuck with me. I don't ever ask for help, even when we need it. I'm kind of bad at that. I would rather figure things out.
We'll flounder a little. We did when we were first married. We floundered a little bit with buying a new house, and we had to figure that out all on our own. We never got
no cosigns, no nothing.
And it's fine.
No, it's totally fine.
It worked out better for us for that.
Yeah, that's all my whole point. And I think that's important to instill in your kids.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're just going to come to you. And it's not even about them coming to you. It's just that you want them to find their own center of gravity.
Yeah.
And stick
with
it.
What's funny is now I'll tell Taylor, oh, let us help you out with that. She's like, no, we got this. We'll figure it out.
Even when we know something's going hard for them. Yeah. We'll be like, we'll do it.
They're so smart.
We'll cover it till next whatever. And they're like, no, it's okay. We don't want to do that. Like, we want to be able to, like that is hugely satisfying as her dad to hear her say things like that.
Yeah.
Because A, she's being honest about her feelings and what's going on. She's not hiding it. But on the other hand, she's like, and we know that this is our life. We're supposed to work this out.
This is hard for a reason, and we're supposed to work it out. And once we do, it'll be even better because we worked it out.
Chat room says, when did you give your kids smartphones?
Taylor was, it wasn't a smartphone. It was
a dumb phone.
Just a flip phone.
Yeah.
I mean, when she was 11, she was really big on babysitting. And we lived in a neighborhood where Scott and I had cell phones. And they were from a different, like, it was back when you still had to pay for out-of-city calls. It was still, I don't know. I think we were still at the long-distance phone call thing going on. And so we needed to get her a phone because she couldn't call us otherwise from wherever she was babysitting. We didn't have a landline.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I had cells. And so in order for her to call us, it was usually long distance from even in our neighborhood, which was kind of stupid. But long time ago, everybody remembers the time. And we had to do that for security for her. And then that just became the thing. 11 was kind of the time. Because then, of course, Carter came along. Well, she got a phone at 11, so why can't I have a phone at 11? Mm-hmm. Smartphones, when did we get our first smartphones?
We actually waited, like, when I never...
Were they?
Well, it would have, our first, like, foray into the iPhone Android era would have been, like, 08.
So that was
a year into it because it was too expensive at first. Plus, I don't know. To be honest,
our kids didn't actually get smartphones. Taylor was probably 15 or 16 before she got, and that was a hand-me-down.
Yeah. And Nick got,
it was always a hand-me-down.
They were always hand-me-downs, and Nick got his first hand-me-down smartphone in like probably late junior high.
Yeah.
But we weren't giving them to, let me say it this way. If the kids were 5 and 6 now, there's no way I'm giving them phones.
Oh no.
Not a chance. Like, wait until they're 12.
Wait till they're old enough to be responsible enough with it that they don't think it's cool to smash them and have them all be cracked.
Yeah.
I don't know what is going on with that.
Yeah.
But every teenager is like, oh yeah, check it out. I can't even barely see my name.
Yeah, it's
on
like
here.
A spider web on it's, here. I can barely see.
I don't understand. I'm like, okay, they need to understand what things actually cost to replace, repair, buy, all of those things. And if they don't have any respect for what you've given them, you need to take it back a little bit and realize, have them realize what they've really got.
We're just giving our whole parenting book away one episode at a time here, aren't we? Because this is good advice.
But this was all about finances. So yes, I usually take care of them.
Thank goodness.
For a lot of people, that isn't the way that works for them. They want to do it together or he does them.
Kim does. She does sock away savings.
Yes.
When she can, she pays a little more on the house payment because it increases the value of the house and drops the note. Like a lot, just good practices like that.
Yeah.
Paying the cars off as soon as that's possible.
I think the most important thing though is knowing that if I'm the one doing all of the finances and he asks me a question that I'm completely like, yeah, we're good this month. No, we're not. We need to lock it down a little bit. We need to pay for, I remember when we were paying for Nerdtaculars up front, we had to pay 6 months in advance. And I would be like, okay, we need to lock it down for a little while because we have to pay this up front.
Right.
Make sure you're talking to each other still and not just completely clueless as to what your finances are if you're not the one paying the bills.
That's true.
And don't pretend that, well, we're just fine. So I'm just going to go out and buy this thing without even talking to each other.
Yeah.
That does not work.
I cannot make, in fact, I stress over it. I'll call Kim and go, Kim, I need a new backup
drive.
I need a hard drive. The hard drive's full. I don't know where to put all this artwork, and it's a business expense, but I don't know if I should do it. She's
usually
the one going, spend it, gosh
dang
it.
Dude, you've earned this. You need to get whatever you absolutely need for work. Yes, do it.
Yeah, make business expenditures, because our tax guy yells at every year. He's yelling at us going, you guys don't spend enough on business.
You need to, it's December.
Yeah, what are you doing? buy a computer or something. I'm like, I don't want to. I don't like, I'm not that
kind of
guy. I
don't think Mark would appreciate the voice you gave him.
Oh, yeah. No, he doesn't talk like that. He's a very, very, very quiet, natured, sweet little man.
I don't think he'd like that either.
He might. Do you remember that time we made him a cake because everyone told us he was turning 40 that year?
Yes, you got duped into that one that year.
Or no, they were telling us he turned 50.
No, it was 40. It was a long time ago.
I thought he was turning 40.
He was turning 40, but he was like 38. And so I made this great, what was it, a graveside cake.
Yeah, but I thought that was for 50, like the over the hill cake.
Maybe. Maybe it was by then. I can't remember, but we were wrong. And it was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. I felt bad because he had gray hair from like the time he was 12.
He was like me.
Yeah, we're worse than you. Like he had the grayest, old maniest hair you'd ever seen.
Old maniest.
And he was in his 30s and it just was weird. All right. Anyway. I got another call here. This is about sending the husband with some food. This is a much simpler question and primarily for Kim. So here it is. Whoops. Here it is.
This is Malia from Omaha. Hi, Scott and Kim. I am calling because I have a question for Kim. Basically, I am trying to figure out things that I can feed my husband. His job requires that he is gone. He leaves Monday morning, usually comes back Thursday night, Friday night. So he's gone all week, and to save money, try to send food with him so he's not just constantly buying food. And, you know, you can only eat so many sandwiches and so many rounds of hamburger casserole. So I'm wondering if you have any ideas of things that I can make that I can do up and it'll last for better part of a week, reheats well. Right now where it's so cold, he likes to have food that's hot for his lunches. So if you have any ideas, that would be great. I know I've done jambalaya a couple of times and he likes that, or he hasn't told me not to make it, so I'm assuming he still likes it. But otherwise, I don't really have many other ideas, and I would appreciate any help. Love the show. Thanks. Bye.
Well, you've done this for me for a long time, so you got to have ideas.
Yeah, I have, because if I'm not gone during the day, I'm always like, did you find something for lunch? Because you're really good about eating leftovers, which is really nice. I am not so much. But it kind of goes into what we were going to talk about today for our food segment. I made it this week. It was a baked spaghetti.
Spaghetti casserole.
That seemed to be
casserole.
A good one, because it was kind of like a casserole, but it wasn't a gooey casserole.
You know what? Hold on. I'm just going
to
do this.
Okay. Will you remember to eat the right way?
May as well just get right to it.
There we go.
So let's talk about this for a second.
Yeah, I made a baked spaghetti that lasts. It lasts the better part of a week because it's spaghetti. Mm-hmm. You make it just like a spaghetti, except I did angel hair because that's your favorite.
I love me some angel
hair. You can do it with any pasta. You make up your sauce. You add your meat. You add your onions and your garlic to your sauce. Then you're going to mix it all together, put it in a pan, and then cover it in Italian cheeses.
Oh.
I mean, you can't go wrong, really. It's kind of nice.
Everyone loves the Italian Jesus the most.
It's kind of like...
Oh, cheeses. Italian cheeses.
Yes,
got
Italian
it.
Jesus.
Okay.
Cover it right on the top there.
Come to heaven. Let's go. All right.
But it's a totally good one because it lasts really well. It doesn't get weird or funky after a few days.
Yeah.
And some things do whenever they're casseroles. I'm not a big casserole fan, but I like that one because of it. It's kind of like a lasagna without all the work.
Lasagna
is
so good.
A lot of work.
It's so good, and you can keep it for days and keep reheating it, and it just never goes bad. It's awesome.
And the cheeses all melt. If you do layers of cheese in the middle, it's kind of all melts in there when you heat it up. That's a good one.
It's a little like a lasagna. It's like a lasagna, isn't it?
Sort of. A lot like a lasagna.
Just with a different noodle
approach. And you can add vegetables to it. Very easily, if you put in asparagus chunks or zucchini chunks, things like that, depending on what you like.
Can you can you put kale in there?
You could layer it with kale. I would do spinach.
I would do spinach before
spinach
kale.
Spinach is going to be better in that.
Yeah, spinach before kale.
Then you get your greens. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Thursday, I made enchiladas. That's another one that stays really well without getting all mushy or anything. Did you like those?
Yeah, no, they were good.
I did... pork loin. I cooked it the day before and shredded it up and put it inside with what did I put in there? Sour cream, salsa, green enchilada sauce, cheese.
Here's what
Carter's got refried beans in hers.
You know what? You just said this. Hold on.
What did I say?
The loin is very tasty and serves four nicely.
The loin.
The loin is very tasty.
The loin.
The loin.
All right. You know, I like a good loin.
So there's a couple of ideas depending on what you like. Yeah. The other thing with the baked spaghetti I really enjoyed was that you can put it in smaller containers and bake it that way so that Carter has her vegetarian version in a smaller baking bowl. Mm. So you could bake them all individually if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Make them different.
Oh, like little personal ones.
Yes, little personal baked spaghettis.
Ooh.
That was a good one.
Because you did that for Carter because she always eats the...
Yes. Yeah. She doesn't put meat in hers.
Because she's a psycho and kidding. Look, whatever. I support her. She's been a vegetarian since she was 11.
Mm-hmm.
And she just can't eat meat. It's just the smell of bacon puts her in a horrible place, a bad place.
So there in Omaha, you pasta is a really good one, easy one that you can make baked things into that would travel well, would reheat really well, and won't. Hopefully, he won't get sick of.
Yeah, it's tricky though when you're on the road like that because you're tempted to stop at every, you know, in and out or whatever that you see. And
but after a while, I think that would get old, and you want home cooking.
Yeah, I would. I know.
And I would do veggies and dip because it's really hard to send a salad.
Yeah.
A salad 4 days later is not going to look very pretty, but veggies and dip is really good. And I'm trying to think of things that aren't sandwiches because I think I would get so sick of sandwiches.
Oh my gosh,
so
sandwiches!
Fast.
I'm a big sandwich guy, but only to so far. Like you can't go a month of nothing but sandwiches every day. But in fact, if you love a good sandwich, don't ever let anyone make you eat that many sandwiches. You're going to get sick of it and hate it.
Then you'll hate them.
Yeah, and like a good sandwich, where would you like? Oh, we like pot bellies, but I like a good grilled, mushroomy,
melted,
good, well made, not Subway, F that, but like a good sandwich. And if you gave me that every day, it'd be sad because I don't want to get tired of that.
You would get tired of it fast.
Oh, that sounds good right now.
I think Carter's making us some breakfast.
What's
so
she making?
So you won't have a sandwich. I don't know. Maybe grits and eggs.
Oh, is she really?
I think she said, let's have breakfast.
Sweet of her. Why doesn't she make us a big aromatic batch of bacon?
Because she really doesn't like cooking bacon.
Understandable.
That's not very nice.
All right.
Even ask her to do.
If you want
to. So good luck with that.
Yes, good luck. And if you want to be like these callers, you can very easily send us a voicemail. That number is 801-471-0462. And that's going to do it for the show. Listen.
We'd love to hear from you. So send us some voicemails.
Yeah, send us some stuff. We'd love it. You can support us, by the way, over at patreon.com/frogpants. People are always asking, hey, I like the Skim Show. I'd like to give back. Well, that's how you can do it. You get a lot for that
and
particular
we really
Patreon.
Appreciate that.
It covers a lot of stuff on the network, but in particular, Skim benefits directly. So patreon.com/frogpants. Big thanks for that. Anyone live here today throwing us your Prime subs or your regular subs, that means a lot to us as well. Thank you for that. Find us at frogpants.com/skim. Kim, any parting thoughts and words?
Try to eat well this week.
Eat well this week, everybody.
Summer's coming.
Summer's coming. And don't go crazy. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Do I have everything you need?
Yeah.